All this I should have realized in advance, if I had my simple practical intellect to flourish, but it was too late. One day she came into me in the farm office, sat down beside me and said with her most charming smile, "Do you know John?" She could not bring herself to say Johan, it sounded so simple. "The world is so beautiful. You have to go out and look around. I will be your cicerone, for I find the roads." The last thing she said with a gleam in her eye. I objected to that, I had neither time or money to think about such, but it was as if she had not heard what I said. She just moved closer, leaning her head on my shoulder and whispered, "We travel far, far away to the south, where the sun is warmer. It's so cold, your Laura freezes. We travel to where the sky is dark blue, where the oranges glow, where it leaps to life in all nature. I once made that journey and I long to go back there again. Follow me, John, we would be so happy out there." "Are you really serious that I would give up my lease, my only livelihood, and to go on such adventures? For a time at least. Then you can of course turn back again to your horses and oxes. I cannot afford that, and so you should be able to understand." She continued long enough to entice me with everything beautiful I'd see, and told me that it would not be difficult to borrow the amount needed as security of the inventory, but when I was still adamant she became angry, stamping her foot, called me unreasonable and mumbled something about travel or go alone. She walked out and slammed the door behind her. However, she was in the coming days very still, and was even friendlier than before, which gave me reason to suspect that she secretly went and thought of something. She often traveled to the city and stayed longer and longer there, under the pretext that she was tested by a seamstress. One evening she stayed more than the usual duration. I was waiting with supper, but she did not come. I went to and fro in the hall, occasionally listening. It began to rise up in me a fear, which eventually grew into anxiety. Where could she be? Had any accident happened to her? I went out on the porch and listened. A carriage was heard in the distance, it came closer, but my hopes mocked, it was not her. I walked down the road towards the city, went and stood, walked and stopped, put my ear to the ground to listen, but to no avail, no one heard, no one came. During these painful hours of waiting in the bright spring night, it dawned on me that I, however, was attached to this woman with stronger ties than I imagined. Early the next day I went into town to look for her, but nobody could give any definite information. In our common neighborhood had nobody seen her since 4 o'clock the day before. She had given the driver a note to buy dinner and told him to wait for her, even if it would be late. He had taken a stupor and was sleeping when I arrived. In the seamstress, she had not been since the dress was completed a week ago. Only one assistant in a shop where she used to be, thought they had seen her go down to the station in company of an older gentleman, but he was not quite sure it was her. She had vanished and had left no trace behind. I went back home, full of gloomy thoughts. She had traveled with another, it was obvious, but where? How to find her tracks? Where would I find her? For my desire was now to be able to bring her back again. I would be so good to her, I would do everything to make her happy. If I could get her back. It cried within me, "Laura! Laura!" But none came. There came a letter from my sister Maria that father laid on his deathbed. I went immediately to my old childhood home, which I had not seen again, since I 18-year-old, with courage went from there. It was now 15 years since. My father was already dead when I arrived, and Maria weighed down by night wakening and sorrow. But her joy at seeing me again was greater than I dared hope. I had after my marriage been a slow letter writer. Her ever-loving letter was long unanswered, and about Laura's escape, I had not said a word. It was as if I was ashamed that Maria would get right in her notions of how such a marriage must fail. But it was not as I expected, with reproaches or with a triumphant "What did I tell you?" She met my confessions. She was just the open arms where I have full confidence could lay down all my worries. She was so good, she was so understanding, I felt I in her had not only a sister but also the most faithful friend. Then I arranged everything in the estate and had the small farm leased out. I returned home, and Maria was happy to follow me. With her fell a ray of sunshine into my home, and it looked like I would again have peace and harmony in my life. We were in the city of an uncle, an old bachelor, who was a very wealthy grain merchant. He was at first very accommodating. It was he who got me the favorable lease, and he had even lent me what I needed for the purchase of furniture. But Laura had never been acceptable for him, and from the moment she came into the house, he put no foot above our threshold. We had made a few visits to him, but he was cold and repulsive to us both, and Laura had from the first moment a certain reluctance, was almost afraid of him. In Maria, however, he was very friendly, and also between him and me was the relationship better when Laura came away, but never became what he was against me before. He was known as a strong-willed and capable man and had in the city and far away a great reputation, which because of our relationship to some extent even came to my part, but then uncle took his hand away from me, did also others turn backs to me and consequent injured not a little of my credit. At first I saved enough, but a couple of crop failures caused difficult setbacks in my pocket. Maria, however, was tireless in her work. She took over the barn and dairy, which she made a good return, and also she managed our little household with care and frugality. Yes, I had never managed it without her during the difficult years that I had to undergo. It was a strenuous and wearing life we both took, but we got on so well together. Have you not thought about the possibility that Laura might come back and want to assert her rights? Asked Maria, one evening as we sat together on the porch. She does hardly, but if she would. You will not open up to her? Interrupted Maria. That does probably depend on how she comes. I want to tell you, Maria, that I have a feeling that I am bound to be good to her, as far as I can. There was a pretty violent transplanting she endured, when I moved her from the spotlight and the applause, to here in my humble home. She's probably not happy, where she is located. But think about what she has done to you. You will not be obliged to accept her if she should come. I tremble at the thought of what it would mean of new sufferings for you. If it happens, then I must take it, I replied. In the evenings we often took a stroll along the shores of the lake, not far from the farm. On one such occasion, we saw an artist who had pitched up his easel on a gate and was painting an evening atmosphere of the lake with some big pine trees in the foreground. We stopped and looked at the blackboard, and I asked if he would follow us home. He thanked her and was our guest not only for the evening but for a long time. Never had I met such a likable young man. He was so happy and healthy and also so kind-hearted. Maria, who was normally very shy with men, felt from the start so at home with him, as if they were old friends. And Axel, so was his name, found good in our party and our humble home habits. He had come to our beautiful region to make studies for a larger painting. Now, we organized an improvised studio in a garden pavilion, where he worked with enthusiasm. It was remarkable how easily he took the people. Even our glum uncle found pleasure in him and bought his paintings. Axel was delighted and asked to stay to paint another canvas. It was the pleasantest summer I had in my entire life. Daily hours he spent, in his own way to work, but when night came and we were sitting together in the arbor, or, when weather was bad, in his studio and talked or read something worthwhile. He read so well, then I felt really happy. Occasionally even uncle came and joined our little circle. Axel had apparently struck a bridge again between our old jerking uncle and us. But moments of joy are short. In late summer, came one evening in the mail a letter, which fell like a thunderbolt in our little peaceful circuit. It read, completely laconically, John, I am poor and sick. Do not close the door for your Laura. I handed the letter to Maria. She was very pale and said nothing. Axel asked if any accident occurred, and I initiated him in my sad story. Do you think she intends to come here? Asked Maria. Probably. Why would she have written else? But you're not going to take her in? What I may do or not do, I have still not clear to me. It's probably sorry for her now, I think. She will ruin your whole life. I beg you, do not take in her. Since I have not replied, she turned to Axel and asked him to persuade me to follow her advice. He sat long silent and serious. It is difficult for an outsider, he said, finally, to prevail in such an important and delicate case. I think Johan is best consult for himself with his own good heart. But if there is about forgiving and help, he does best both to advise himself and her to follow that advice, even if it would interfere with the pleasant atmosphere in the home. 2 days later she came, spiritually and physically degraded. She was so helpless and miserable that it would have been quite impossible for me to close my door for her. She sat never question other than to stay, and installed herself in her old room, where she immediately went to bed. Any explanations she did not give. When I asked how she was, she answered only with groans and wailings over her head ached so violently. She did not want to call a doctor, it would probably go over, she said. And it went over, and I do not think the disease was more than an excuse to be left alone for the first time. However, she had already become the focal point around which everyone's thoughts and cares revolved. Maria, who so eagerly insisted that she should not be received, was now her tender care. Even Axel, who had first made available a tone of indifference towards her, gradually became interested and showed her so much sympathy that it was touching. I myself was a victim of the most conflicting emotions, as it cost me a real effort to overcome. At times I felt drawn to her with all the strength of a warmer feeling. It was something with this strange creature which fascinated me, so I was hardly myself when I devoted myself to this spell. I felt that I could easily have become her spineless slave, if I'm not with all the power asserted my independence. Hence came the reaction so sharp that I could feel the next moment as a real dislike on her and be ready to throw her out. It was something terrible rending of these inner spiritual struggles, while my outward appearance, however, made pains inside me to show a peaceful and quiet kindness. She had a wonderful ability to win people, perhaps most, by a certain childlike helplessness as she so well knew how to build, and when she was very dependent on the servants' help, she soon won their affection as they obeyed her every whim. But then she probably knew her power. She hesitated not to use it. It was not long, until she was everybody's tyrant. I cannot describe how I suffered under the yoke she hung around our house. I was perhaps the one most able to separate myself from her influence. What it cost for the effort, I will not talk about. But Uncle, she never managed to win. When he learned that she came back, he stopped with his visits and showed me again the same desiccated coolness as before. Only Maria was still high in his favor. Laura had some favorites, including the horse driver, Lars, the same as 6 years ago, had driven her to the city when she ran away. He was a good groom, but could never stay sober. Once I had fired him, but then it went half a year when he came back starving and miserable, I let him stay. Now he again had a drunken period and addressed to some confusion, so I have to drive him out. He cried and complaining himself. Laura lay out for him. She thought I was hard-hearted who could not comprehend that it was the same as to let the man go under. As this was apparently a sign of a heart goodness that only too rarely appeared, I did as she pleased, and took the sinner into favor again. It was touching to see how grateful she was. There was probably a deposit of goodness in this strangely composed woman, but it was buried under so much hardness that it almost never was felt. It was now late fall and Axel had to travel, to great grief of us all. He had so much grown into our hearts that it was with real regret we told him goodbye. When he traveled, and I one day sat alone with Laura, she said, "I'm glad he's gone." "It was strange," I replied. "He was always so kind to you, and you also seemed to show him so much interest." "Yes. But he did always have a certain affinity with me. At times I felt almost afraid of him, I do not know why. I could not really stand him. Also Maria was good for me to leave our home, she bothers me with her flattery. Are not you ashamed, I replied in a violent tone, she is the one who always shown you so much sympathy, though you often been cross and insistent against her. She is truly too good to be so treated, it would not surprise me if she got tired. If she do not thrive she can move, was the icy response. So it went as well. Maria came a day deeply distressed and told me that she could not stand it any more, not so much for her own sake, but she could not bear to see what I suffered. She moved to the city, where uncle helped her set up a small stationery store, which gave her the job and barely living. Now, I was again alone with this enigmatic sphinx, which had seized such a deep hold of my life that I could not get rid of her. How much I now would rather let she go, and kept my sister, but to drive her away now, as I once again took her as my wife, I could not. She now had the legal right to stay, and it was also no talk of anything else. But then she ruined my life. My good guardian spirit was gone, and the economic difficulties began to pile up. Times were bad, the dairy was making losses and harvests failed. The people proved unwieldy and unwilling. Everything went with long strides downhill. I was many times so dead tired that I was tempted with a bullet in the chest go away from it all. Then I went to Maria and got from her comfort and strength to persevere. It would probably be better, she said. Patience, patience and trust, that's what we need, and we must also, if we believe that a higher power guiding our destiny. I left her with new courage to renewed fighting. So I dragged out year after year by a cheerless and, it seemed to me, meaningless existence. Laura became more and more nervous and irritable-tempered, especially against me. The servants knew she still keep in good spirits, though she always tried their patience. We lived a very isolated life. I knew that they considered me for a coward, who did not punishing my wife for her escape, and then sent her away, but no one said anything to me directly. At some point, I did get an attempt at claiming the accounts of her, but it usually ended with a small scene, no other result but that she had a seizure of her severe headache and then became even more introverted and irritable. The fascination she formerly exercised over me was now burned out. She had been both for herself and others a burden. She was almost never out of her room. There she sat as a voluntary prisoner, and had herself served. But this sedentary life undermined her health. A cancerous disease came out of her thread of life and finally put her on the sick bed from which she would never occur. But it was slow, a full year, the longest I had, she was lying in bed before relief came. It was my daily prayer to God that he would soften her heart and make her soft before he took her away. Already there was thus a short hearing of prayer, that she had to lie so long, but I would get better. When the plagues did hit her, she asked me to come and sit beside the bed and hold her hand, it eased, she said. On one such occasion she stroked me caressingly over my hand and said in a low voice, you have all suffered much you yearn, for my sake. But there was no continuation. She was not finished with herself yet. When I saw that it was toward the end and that she was in an agony that probably not only came of bodily suffering, I asked if she wanted to ease her heart to me. It's said black, you see. I would probably talk to you, but I cannot talk openly, I said. Whatever you may have to tell me, I will not have a word of reproach, I promise. You see, she started. It was like pulling me up by the roots to take me from my triumphs and put me here, where I do not belong. I felt that I would fade away if I did not get the nutrients I longed for. It was so stuffy, so unbearably boring. You were probably always nice, but we were so different. I was a fool who did catch me in your yarn. But once I was hooked started the rebellion in me. I struggled in my bonds, and I scream for freedom. You with your calm temperament do not understand that, but I have something of a savage in my veins, I cannot get linked onto the same spot, I could at least not then, when the blood was still boiling hot. Therefore, I tore my bonds and fled far away into foreign lands. It was not difficult to arrange the practical side of things. I only had to give a hint. It was always someone at my feet and offered me his gold. I sold me, what did I care, but life's billows went sky high and its salty foam struck me in the face. It was the life I loved with all its pleasures and pains, and believe me, I've tried both. I chased up the trackless paths, until one day I hit my head against a rock which I could not outdo. There I lay myself crushed, bleeding from many wounds. Now I was deeply unhappy. Then it came up in me a wild longing for you. I can say I crawled on my knees against the home I had abandoned, but how would I dare to take over its threshold? Understand me when I tell you it was me a tremendous humiliation just to come here again, and understand that it would have exceeded my powers to do you an apology or make a confession. It has been necessary years of unspeakable struggles and sufferings to arrive at this moment when I can finally talk to you. I have fought valiantly, though it looked like I had this hardened cold. I have longed to throw myself into your arms, but I just went and tormented you with my irritability. But do you know, Yehan, my heart I gave none. Maybe I had nothing to give, or, and here she lowered her voice to a whisper, perhaps, remaining here with you. For, singular as it may seem, your picture followed me wherever I went. It seemed to me as an ideal, which was not yet mine, but that I should strive to acquire. Had I stayed with you, I never would have reached you. Can you understand me when I tell you that I needed to leave you to find you, which I needed to let all my passions go all the way to get back to you and to die with you? Now it's almost over. The crater is burned out. It has finally thrown ashes around in all directions, only ashes. And you've been here for years and waded into the ash. You, poor Yehan. I have done you much evil. Can you forgive me? Laura, now I understand you that I've never done it before, and now I understand also what wrong I did you, when I asked you to be mine. I had only the selfish idea of owning yourself without making it clear to me if I could fill your requirements, if I could be for you what you needed. In it, I have violated you. She was a long time with my hand in hers and looked at me with one of the nice look in hers eyes that were once so enchanted me, and that still glittered up for one last time. Now she was on sweet, and I felt this little while gave me ample compensation for years of sorrow and suffering. She asked me to fetch Maria, but when my sister arrived, the forces are already so exhausted that she was unable to speak. She took only her hand, and then extinguished the spark of life. About the rest of my life, I can be brief. I had chosen to serve the debt during my previous life on earth heaped upon me, and my desire was to a significant extent been satisfied. But then I had no consciousness of the past. I felt many times as if fate has settled meaningless heavily on me. I could no longer maintain my credit. I was ruined and had to leave everything I owned. At first I was a sanctuary of Maria and helped her a little in her business, but when I saw how hard she had to pull out, I moved up to my native village, where I received a small tenancy which gave me a meager livelihood. Over my last year on earth would the sun shine. Our uncle had died, and when Maria and I were his only heirs, we were hastily added in a completely different and better economic conditions. We did not need to toil longer. We bought us a small place, moved together and lived a carefree life. Axel, who has become a famous artist and long lived abroad, was now returned home and rushed to look us up. He had several times written both to Maria and me and expressed his desire to see us again. Now he came and was like in former days our guest for a few sunny summer days. It was a joy to re-sit together and look back on all that we experienced. But the joy is not resident on the earth. In the fall I suffered from pneumonia, which took a serious turn. Maria sat beside me and patted my fevered temples. I knew the end was near, and thanked her for all she has been for me. The last thing I caught was her steadfast gaze. On the other side, what it means to end a hard-working earthly life, full of trials, and move over to the other side, the summer land/country with the feeling that, However, to have taken a small step forward in development, that cannot be enough understood down there on Earth, where we go around blindfolded and do not have a clue about the country on the other side, the summer land, country, with all its glory and joy. I woke up and looked around me. Where was I? Where had they brought me? I lay out in a meadow. All around me, I saw only flowers and tall grass. Birds singing, the flowers smelled, and the balmy breeze blew caressing through my hair. I felt it so easy to breathe, but I was very tired. I closed my eyes and fell into a light slumber. How long I lay in this pleasant daze, I do not know. I had the sensation that I recovered after a long and severe illness, and that I would soon have the power, if I only was calm. It was so nice to open your eyes and see the beautiful landscape, for then to close them again and feel the pleasant numbness in all limbs. I thought I dreamed, and yet I seemed to be awake, but really awake, I was probably not, because I was not on the sick bed, where I just struggled with the fever. I did not dare to move a limb, so afraid I was that all this glorious magic would disappear. Then I felt a warm hand that stroked my head. I turned my head and saw a figure sitting in the grass behind me. He smiled kindly at me. "How do you feel now?" he asked. "Marvelous," I said. "Well, just a little tired. But who are you? Do not you recognize a cab?" "A cab? A cab?" What strange memories came not up when I heard this name, "A cab, it is you, my old teacher and friend. But how did I get here? I have brought you from the earth, which you left behind plus your dead body, and put you here in the grass, so you would get a rest for a while. You've slept so well, while I sat here watching over you. Am I dead, you say?" "Yes, as they call it on earth, but in fact, you are more alive than ever. Do not feel how the new life is pulsing through your veins?" "Well, it is so comfortable, I feel so healthy." "Yes, you feel good now and will get even better when you are strong enough to follow me higher up. I will then pick you up, but leave you now for a short time, while you are taken care of by an old acquaintance who asked to receive you. She lives here just next door. See, there she is already. Live well, we'll see you again soon." I waved my hand in farewell and saw me wandering around for she who would help me. There came a female creature, with light, silent steps towards me. What she was beautiful! Dark, dreamy eyes, black hair, light curling in ringlets down the neck, a skin that was browned by the sun. She looked so friendly. Where had I seen that face before? It seemed so familiar. "Welcome, John," she said, as she knelt in the grass beside me. "You look so surprised. Do not you recognize me? Is it really you, Laura? So beautiful you have become." "Yes, we become a little prettier when coming over here for the summer country," she said with a suggestive smile. "And that I came here, I have you to thank. Therefore, I asked a cab to receive you here in my home. If you want me to support you, I think you now have the energy to follow me on the small road across the meadow." We went together to her home, where she decorated a small delightful place on my behalf. There I spent a period of calm, where I rested after the earthly life that was me such a heavy burden. My great joy was to see the remarkable change that had taken place with Laura. She was so friendly and affectionate towards me, she did everything to prepare me comfort and joy. Once, when we were like two old friends sitting and talking about our memories and experiences, she said, "You can now view all of our past earthly life with all its sorrows and trials, but maybe you can also look further back to the period when you were Wolfgang and I Gertrude." Wolfgang? Gertrude? The looming so strange characters passed my minds in a array. Wolfgang? Gertrude? Oh, it is bad memories you evoke. Was it you and me? Yeah, look at them closely, so do you probably recognize them. She put me in front of a mirror, or whatever it was, and stroke over its surface. Then appeared, as in a movie theater, moving pictures of our penultimate earthly life from two incarnations back in time. No, Remove those ugly pictures, I asked. Why drag up these embarrassing recollections now, when I feel so good?